Chapter 8, Four Immeasurable Minds. How can we help others to find happiness? One way is through the practice of the four immeasurable minds. The first mind is that of loving kindness, which is offering happiness to others. The second is the mind of compassion, which is the intention and wish to relieve the suffering of others. Third is joy, which is felt when beings experience happiness. And fourth is equanimity, being neither averse to nor attached to anything. We should understand that we cannot cause others to transcend suffering or to feel happiness or joy. But we still can have the wish that all beings will be able to accomplish such freedom and joyfulness. Ideally, one day, we will naturally want to practice all four because of our love for all beings. But realistically, until that day, we need to start from where we are and from what we can relate to. Thus, our practice of the four immeasurables can begin with wanting others to be happy. Gradually, this can progress to wanting them to attain joy. Happiness is a physical state, joy, a mental one. The attainment of joy, as well as the wish for others to attain the state of joy, is a higher level achievement, higher than the condition of physically feeling good. We can start this practice with those who are closest to us, our family and friends. We can then extend it to those we know and like, and gradually keep on expanding this practice outwards until we feel loving kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity for all beings in our world, and eventually for all beings throughout the universe. Ultimately, the capacity of our mind to care for all beings becomes immeasurable. Then our mind embraces the expanse of space and encompasses the vastness of the universe. These four stages are akin to how a fire grows from strength to strength. First, to start the fire, we need paper and thoroughly dry kindling wood. There must be no draft, and we must carefully tend our fire, focusing on it completely. As it begins to burn more strongly, we can add larger pieces of wood, which in turn increases the fire. Eventually, when our fire is blazing intensely, even adding large logs that are not yet dry can still fuel the fire. The first mind is loving kindness, which is the practice of selflessness, of constantly seeking to benefit others, of helping others to find happiness. When we wish to hurt another, we are experiencing anger. Waiting for an opportunity to inflict harm on that person, we are experiencing animosity. When animosity continues for a long time, it becomes hostility. When we act upon these thoughts, through speech or actions, the hostility becomes cruelty. To counter these destructive emotions, we need loving kindness. To offer happiness to others, we need to know what they want, and for this, we need to listen and understand. If someone tells us that they do not need or want something, but we insist on giving it to them, we are only offering frustration and irritation, not happiness. If they wish for nothing, then giving them nothing is the offering of happiness. We should try to give others what they wish for as long as it is not harmful, even if what they like is something we do not. Our personal desires or opinions simply do not always reflect what other people want. So often in our wish to make others happy, we project what we like onto them. Our intentions may be good, but without wisdom, the best of intentions can backfire, exasperating others and disappointing ourselves. To offer happiness, we need to set aside the thinking that others wish for what we wish for, and instead, provide other people with what they truly wish for. The second mind is compassion, or the wish and intention to alleviate the suffering of others. It counters sorrow and anxiety. It is the unconditional care and concern for all living beings, the ability to realize that all beings experience distress, not just ourselves or those we care for. All too often, we find ourselves trying to ease the pain of those we love and care for, but completely disregarding the pain of other people whom we do not care for or even dislike. Ideally, our compassion should be felt equally for all. This practice can be very powerful. Many of us have someone in our lives who seems determined to cause us problems. For instance, this person might be a supervisor who asks us how we would do a certain task. We would spend time searching for the best way to accomplish the task and then present our recommendation. But inevitably, the supervisor would disregard our suggestion and do as he wishes. This can be extremely frustrating. But if we take the time to look carefully, we might well see that our supervisor is, in turn, under a great deal of pressure from his supervisor, who constantly loses her temper. Under the constant threat of verbal abuse when anything goes wrong, our supervisor will naturally do what he feels most safe with. He is someone who truly needs our compassion, for he is constantly worried about being criticized or embarrassed, especially in front of others. By understanding his true situation, we can begin to feel some compassion for his constant distress. In this and other situations, we can try to have compassion by understanding how the other person is feeling. It is not necessary to have experienced exactly what they are going through, or to become immersed in the situation with them. We will accomplish nothing if we emphasize so completely that we are unable to effectively help them. Instead, we need to remain clear in our thinking and reactions. If someone is drowning, jumping in, not knowing how to swim, will not improve the situation. What we need to do is to save her from drowning. To do this, it is not necessary to experience the same situation as the one she is experiencing. We need to calmly find a way to fix the situation, using our own experience and wisdom to guide us. The third mind is that of joy, which is wanting all beings to be free from unhappiness and being sincerely happy without any trace of jealousy when they accomplish this. Joy counters sadness. It is the state of great contentment and ease. All too often, we wish to control others. We become irritated when they fail to behave as we wish. If others then praise them for their behavior, we become even more frustrated. But we should learn to feel happy for them. If the person is genuinely happy in what they have chosen to do, and their actions have not harmed anyone, then yes, we ought to feel joy for them. The fourth mind is equanimity, which is letting go. It counters attachment and aversion. It is to stop clinging and to no longer judge or discriminate. It does not mean that we do not love. It means that we love equally and impartially, like a mother who loves all her children. Loving every one of her children, a mother's love for one child is not lessened. Loving all her children with equanimity does not mean she is indifferent to what her children feel or do. She simply loves them all unconditionally and without expectations. Equanimity in love is non-possessive. It is like the sun shining on all beings equally. The sun does not differentiate, deciding to shine more on this person and less on that person. Neither does the sun cling to those it shines on. It shines on all it sees with warmth and brightness, equally. When we can view everyone with equanimity, we will understand that people are who they are. If we expect them to conform to our ideals, we will smother them and destroy them. It would be much better to just accept people as they are, without any of our preconceived views and personal judgments. Our only wish should be for them to be free from suffering and to be happy and filled with joy. Developing the four immeasurable minds requires much time, enthusiasm, and dedication. Although our four minds today may seem to be very small and narrowly focused, their gradual expansion to encompass the whole universe will bring us immeasurable joy.